What would you do if you knew that tomorrow you would die? That's a pretty heavy question. I think a lot of us wish we could say that we wouldn't do anything differently. We would like to say that we live each day to the fullest. We act as though this day may be our last day. But do we? Would you spend as much time in front of the television or the computer tonight? Would you make a point of reaching out to friends and family? Would you write letters or record videos? Would you try to complete unfinished business? What would you do if you knew that tomorrow you would die? Over the years, I've had a rather unique insight into people's lives as I have been able to witness people who knew they did not have long to live. I have heard story after story from the survivors of those who have died as they recount the final days and hours of a loved one's life. It's very, very rare that someone would not look back upon them as important. As varied as individual experiences could be, from painful to peaceful, from expected to surprising, from meaningful to tragic beyond explanation, that becomes sacred time. And beyond being sacred, it is a time when we can truly teach. When we can make a profound statement, when real lessons can be made manifest. And it doesn't matter if it is an old war hero or a tiny infant, an inspirational saint or a hardened criminal, lessons can be taken away. So what would you do if you knew that tomorrow you would die? Tonight we begin the Triduum of Holy Week. We commemorate the Last Supper of our Lord with his disciples. It was the night before Jesus would die. He knew it. He knew that the following day would be full of pain and suffering. He knew that his apostles, his beloved mother, his disciples would feel as though their hearts were being torn from their bodies. He knew these final hours would count. And boy, did they. We have recounted what Jesus said and what Jesus did for century after century after century. Indeed, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Before he was given up to death, a death he freely accepted, he took bread and gave God thanks. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." When the supper was ended, he took the cup. Again, he gave God thanks and praise, gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." In his final hours, because he knew he was going to die, Jesus wanted to leave his church something profound, something meaningful. He wanted to give his ultimate gift, his very body and blood. He wanted his disciples to know that he would always be there with them, physically present. And so on Holy Thursday, throughout the centuries, we recall that most significant event when Christ gave us the Eucharist and the priesthood. We who have been humbled by being called to Christ's priesthood need to remember, I think, that our very lives are part of Christ's gift to the church as well. On this day, when priests across the globe gather with their bishops as they are able to renew their priestly vows, and the universal church commemorates the institution of the priesthood, we are mindful that we have been put here for the sake of Christ's church. We are here to bring the Eucharist to the people of God. It is often said that without the priest, there is no Eucharist. The fact that some words in the Missal are spoken exclusively by the priest on the night before he was given up to death. "Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your disciples, 'I leave you peace. Take this, all of you, and eat it.'" In other words, are said by the congregation. "It is right to give God thanks and praise. May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands. Lord have mercy. These differentiations don't make one vocation better than the other, but they do highlight that there is an importance in who the priest is and what the priest does. And we remember why the priest does it, because it is Christ's gift to the people of God. Our understanding of priesthood is different than the understanding of a minister. One is not a priest because of what one does. It is a core, the essence of identity. It comes through ordination. There are good priests and there are bad priests, and many of us fall somewhere in between. But priest and minister are different. And priest isn't a verb, it's a noun. That's not an attempt to cop out of responsibility. That doesn't mean that for the priest it is morally acceptable to sit back and watch the world go by, or just wear the clothes, or live a private ministry. We know this because Jesus taught us more that night. In his final hours, because he knew he was going to die, Jesus wanted to leave his church something profound. He left his example. He took a basin and tied a towel around himself, and he began to wash. The teacher, the master, the Lord, the rabbi, he confounded Simon Peter, and he confounded the conventional wisdom of who the Messiah was. He turned upside down the understandings of power and prestige and glory. Christ descended that night so that we may ascend. Christ took on the role of slave so that we may experience the fullness of life and freedom. Christ embraced the darkness so that you and I could live in the light. Christ embraced death so that those we love, those we have lost, indeed we, our very selves, may never die. He gave us an example that night. Christ reminds us today, some 2,000 years later, that priest, minister, layperson, or pope, no matter who you are, you share a common baptismal calling. That we are called to be doers. That we have been given strength through Christ to sustain us in times of weakness, so that we may serve our Lord in one another. We have been lifted up so that we may see more clearly those who need us to bend down and pick them up. We have been given a new beginning so that we may share our blessings and life and joy with those that the world may say are beneath us. Christ knew he was going to die. He knew that time was sacred. So he showed us what to do. This Holy Thursday, as we follow his example and bless the bread, break it and recall his promise that it is his body and his blood. May it strengthen us on our journey and remind us of his great lesson, that we serve God best when we serve God's people.